This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lilu Nishmas, Moras Serel, Bas Rav Shloime Zalman. Yud Teh Shvat, 15th of February, Rabbi Shloime Weiss, can we learn halacha from Agadah?
Sure.
There's Yerushalmi in Peah, which you may have heard quoted. It's actually a similar Gemara in Megillah, but it's not exactly the same Nusach, so I'm going to use the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in Peah, in the second Perek, says, it's Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Reb Shua ben Levi is being the Daik Pasuk, he's learning out from a Pasuk. It says Va'aleim. The original pasuk talking about the luchos. So he is medayik. It says kechol. It says Va'aleim kechol hadvarim. So what's Va'aleim and kechol rather than aleihem and kol? So he learns that everything was learnt that's taught to Moshe at Sinai. It says Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud v'Agada, Afilu Masha, Talmud Vosik, Vosik Lahoris Lifnei Rabbi, Kvar Nema Lemoshe v'Sinai. So it seems that even things such as Agada were given to Moshe at Sinai. I mean, it's understood if you have a Mishnah, you say about Mishnah, you say about the Gemara, but it's a bit of a pele, it's a bit of a chidush, to say even the Agada all came mi Sinai. It's a kind of a little bit similar to the way the Rishonim, the Baal Tanura, everyone explains Pirkei Avos starts Moshe Kibbel Torah mi Sinai, to explain that even Pirkei Avos, even we think of these are ethical teachings, but even they came from Sinai, not that the Rabbonim, the Tanoim, made them up themselves. So, okay, sounds very good. But then we have another Gemara that follows. It says, Rav Zeira b'shem Shmuel, Ein lemeidin lo min ha-halachos, v'lo min ha-hagodos, v'lo min ha-tiseftos, elo min ha-talmud. So he says, and it's in the play Moshe, that we don't learn halacha l'maisa from any of these things, not even from another halacha elsewhere, and not from a Haggadah, and not from a Tosefta. It says Tosfos, but the explanation given means the Tosefta. So it's a bit surprising, but it's a quantification. It seems to be a quantification of what we said. Even though everything came from Sinai, you can't learn halacha l'maisa from all these sources. And it seems to be that there are quite a number of Poskim and other sources that take this on, they take on the Yerushalmi, and that's the way they understand it. There's a Mishnah in Brachos, it's referring to a Shlech Tzibor, someone who's done for the Amud, and he's either a Kohen or he's a Yisrael. So the question is, can he answer Omein to the Birchas Kohenim? Can he, if he's a Kohen, can he himself Duchen? And Mishnah has a discussion, says it depends if he's confident that he'll be able to keep place. The truth is, halacha l'maisa, most poskim, if you look at Mishnah Berurah, nowadays we have sidurim. In those days it wasn't always, not everyone had a siddur. And the worry was that out of nervousness they would lose the place, etc. So it could be that today things are different. But the Tosfos Yom Tov there says that it says a person shouldn't answer Amen, and then he says in parentheses, he says in my Sefer Lechem Chamudos, which is his commentary, one of his commentaries on the Rosh in Sechas Brachas, he says that he wrote a Kasafti Mishum Sheheruli B'Medrash Rabba Pashas Kisavoy. He says over there he was shown a Medrash, and There it says she'ena amin be'im haftachaso. If the shliach tzibur is confident, he's not going to get caught out, so he answers amin, and therefore he wants to learn that way. Then he says ach ato shavti. Now he dwelled on it, or he thought. And then v'ra'isi she'ein lemeidin halacha lemedrash rabbis. Sharei rabbis. Okay. So he says one can't learn halacha from a medrash rabba. So he's changed his mind. Now he actually brings two proofs. One of them, the second one is our Yerushalmi that we just quoted, that we don't learn from halachas, we learn from hagodas, and here he calls it Tosefta's. The first raya, we'll see soon. But that is the Tosus Yom Tov. Tosus Yom Tov says he changed his mind. You can't learn halacha lemaisa from midrashim. So I'll just show you. There's also another discussion about this. Unfortunately, a practical halacha nowadays. I work on the Beis Din, in the Kashrus, not in the Beis Din itself. But unfortunately, we see more and more divorces. And famously, in Halacha and Simon, in Eben Ezer, Simon Kuf Yotes, Seif Vav. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin, as always was. It says, Yachal Lagasha B'loi Data. The husband doesn't have to inform his wife when he's divorcing her. He can do it without her knowledge. And then famously, the Ramah brings Rabbeinu Gershom's Kherim that you're not allowed to divorce a woman without her knowledge. They have to both be aware and both have to consent. But part of the Ramah, he says, following on from the Mechaba, he says, Hagov, afilu ein loy l'shalim, lo haksuba. The dunya as well. Eina yechayla la'akev. Nothing's out of gerushim. Ela tiskarish v'titba oisai mashachayavla. So he'll divorce her, and he'll write an IOU, and he'll pay up later. That's the way the Ramal paskins. And it seems to be from a Rosh and a Rivosh. A truva of the Rosh and the Rivosh. So the Pri Chadosh at the bottom isn't very happy with this, and he points out that there's a truva of the Gaonim from it's brought in the Trusa Rashba, and he brings the Rambam and others. He's not happy with the Ramah's Psak, and he doesn't understand why he's paskining like the Rosh and the Rivosh. He wants to say that you have to pay up straight away. Now today, if you look at the value of a ksuba, according to most poskim, the value of a ksuba is measured in silver. It's not measured as it used to be by how supporting one's wife for a certain amount of time. But if the person really doesn't have any money, this would be a machlokes. So it's interesting that the Brit Chadash wants to bring proofs to what he's saying. He's slightly matcha then, but he brings one from Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara says, brings a pasuk. It says, "Nasanani Hashem bidei lo yochal kum." So Hashem put me in the hands of someone who I couldn't get up from. And Gemara says, "Zu ishara ksuba sam maruba." This is an evil wife whose ksuba is large. Right? He's promised her a lot of money. Besides the 200 zuz, possibly. And so it's mashma that he's not able to get out of it. Why is he not able to get out of it? Because he doesn't have the money. So the question is, well, you know, you can write an IOU. He wants to be matcha, maybe not, because maybe it's just it's so big that even if he writes an IOU, he knows he'll never be able to pay. He brings another famous agadta in the Gemara in Gittin. We learn the Tisha B'Av Gemaras where it's actually near the end of the agadta Gemaras, where there was a person who tricked his master into divorcing his wife because he told him that she'd been unfaithful, and then he manages to marry her, and that's a whole discussion. So the Be'er Heitev talks about this Brichadosh. He's not happy. He says, the Brichadosh asks from these Agaditas, and he says, Vani, and he wants to argue with the Ramah, Vani Oime, the Ein Lemedim in HaGadis. We don't, no, it's not happening, you know, it's not correct. You don't bring Raz from Agadah to Gomorrah's, the Halacha. And then he brings the Tosus Yom Tov. And then he says, V'kach kosav shvus Yaakov chelik beis kimtzuf simen kuf mentes. So, he sends you to the Shvus Yaakov, which we'll briefly talk about. The Shvus Yaakov, just to mention a little bit about who the Shvus Yaakov was. Shvus Yaakov lived at the end of the 1600s, beginning of the 1700s. His name is Rav Yaakov Reisha. He lived originally in Prague, he became a Rav then in Reisha, and then went westwards. He went to Worms and Metz. The Chidor says about him that he was the greatest posek of his time. He was the Gadol Hador of his generation. He was a little bit after the Chavos Yoeh. The Shaila that he has there is about two brothers who split a house together, and it seems that one of them had the oven. One of them had the large oven, at least, one where you could bake bread. And they made an agreement that the brother, the Reuven, would only be able to use the oven on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. So the Lashon is, ki im Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. So he could only use it then, because obviously it's understood you need bread, etc. And this Reuven was blessed with a son, and he needed to make a bris milah and a pidyon haben, and he wanted to be able to bake. So he wanted to say it's like his yom tov, it's a personal yom tov. So he wanted to be able to use the oven. So the Shvus Yaakov wants to suggest, originally, he wants to suggest that the word ki im, you can learn from a couple of places, you can learn that ki im isn't always... doesn't always include everything. And he gives an example of Yaakov, that the name of Yaakov won't be called Yaakov ki im Yisrael, and yet we find him being called Yaakov and Yisrael. It talks about, actually his first example is, he brings the pasuk where we discuss in Brachos Machlokes Ben Zoma and the Chachamim about whether we will mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in Yemos HaMashiach, and it says, and they quote pasuk, Lo yomru oit chai Hashem ashehelo bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, ki im chai Hashem ashehelo v'ashehevi ezeris beis Yisrael me'eretz tzvoyne. So we're only going to discuss the Yemos HaMashiach. When Mashiach comes, they wanted to say you'll only mention them, Yemos HaMashiach, you won't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then we were going to write, no, they also are going to talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. But he actually hears Madcha, he pushes away these proofs because of, as we mentioned, because he wants to, he's not so sure you can bring a proof from Agadah, and he brings other reasons why he disagrees with his original proposal that Reuven could claim rights to the oven. He's got other reasons as well. So, but it seems from this Shvus Yaakov that actually you can't bring a raya. The only problem with that is, and now we're going to see maybe the other side of the coin, is that many poskim say that which we say you can't bring a raya from a Medrash or an Agadah to Gemara is only when you have a Gemara or a Mishnah or something against the Agadah. In other words, when there's a conflict. If there's no conflict, you can then bring a Medrash. So the Shvus Yaakov himself actually says this in a different tshuva, in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches. There, it's talking about Reuven sold Shimon a great deal of wine. He said, Ba'ad elef zuhuvim, 1,000 golden coins. And he'd given him some of the payment. He'd only given him 100 gold coins. And the question then was, could the seller back out because the price of wine had gone up in the meantime? So, one of the dinim, I won't go into the whole Shulchan Aruch now about it, but one of the dinim is that there's a difference if the seller is under pressure to sell. One of the things that will change the outcome of what psak is whether the person was selling just, you know, normal, regularly, or he was under pressure. And the Shos Yaakov wants to bring a proof that selling wine is always considered like you're under pressure. He brings it from a story in the Gemara in Psochim. Gemara in Arab Psochim. There's a story of Rav. Rav had a son called Evu, who, it says, Torche Boch Beshmeister V'lo Nistaya. So he had a son, Evu, who was trying to learn. He didn't quite make it in learning. So he says to him, and I don't think this would happen nowadays, but he says to him, come on, I'm going to take you to the market and show you how to make a parnasa in the market. He wants to show him what are the best ways of making a parnasa. I think today if a Rosh Hashiva would have a son who wasn't quite making it learning, I highly doubt he was going to take him to the market and show him how to make a parnasa. But he should do, but I doubt it would happen today. Anyway, one of the things he tells him is that if you've got schoira, if you've got whatever you're selling, wheeling and dealing, so sometimes you might regret if you sell it quickly, because things can change. He says, but wine, sell quickly. And Rashi explains there, because there's always a worry it might spoil. And I think it's maybe more in those times, because it seems there's a few Gemaras where wine ended up spoiling. Could be that they didn't seal the barrels so well, I don't know, but that's what he says to him. He wants there being a proof from that wine is considered something that is people are under pressure to sell. And that's why this person, in our case, Reuven and Shimon, he sold him lots of wine for 1,000 gold pieces. He was trying to get rid of it. So he says, "V'im yoyim ha'oyme, ma alacha etzel agada, ha'loy ein lemedim halacha medivri agada." So he brings up the question, he asks himself, you're going to tell me, you can't learn from agada.
It's advice, it's not halacha.
No, he's learning from it that there's a yesod now that wine, selling wine, you're always under pressure. So he wants to say in this case, which came before him, of Reuven and Shimon, where Reuven sold Shimon 1,000 gold coins worth of wine, and we don't know that he was under pressure, but he wants to say, no, there's a cloud that he's considered under pressure, and therefore it could be there's leeway for him to back out. And he's passing halacha lemaisa from this. So he's saying, and the proof for this is from the Sagatza in Psochin. So he says that, he says that which Maroi said, "Deikah mishum loy poleg rabbanim." Mashengim dinin shenef flenu. Shloy. He says they already made a chiluk between whether you're under pressure or not, etc. So he says I've already got the beginning. The chiluk itself is in halacha. Just I'm giving you a proof from Agatha for the fact that it applies to wine. So he doesn't seem to be too bothered about this. And the truth is that there are a number of other poskim who say this clearly. In fact, let's maybe start with a medrash. The Tosfos Yom Tov's, one of his proofs was, besides the Yerushalmi, was from a medrash rabbah. Medrash rabbah is in Parshas Bereishis. It's talking about the chiyuv of a person to get married, to have children. And we know in the Gemara there's a machlokas, does it apply to women or is it only men? Here, the Medrash brings down this machlokas. And it says, Reb Elazar, B'shem Reb Yosi ben Zimra, so it says, V'kiv shua, V'kiv shaksiv, Ha'ish mitzuva, P'rivirivya, Avaloi ha'isha. So Reb Elazar is of the opinion that only a man is obligated in Pirav Ruvia, not a woman. Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka Amar Echad Oish VeEchad Oisha Al Shneim Huoimer VeEchoisem Elokim, etc. And then he explains V'Kiv Shua in a different way. And the Medrash here ends by saying Halacha Ker Rabbi Yochanan. The Medrash learns that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka, that a woman is obligated in Pirav Ruvia. A woman is obligated to have children. And this Medrash is saying a halacha l'maisa, which goes against the way we paskin. The Bavli doesn't paskin this way. And this is, the Tosfos Yomtov wants to say, you see here, look, the Medrash is trying to paskin our halacha, and it's not correct. So, Rav David Gluya, in his Haggaz here, explains, and he tells you about the Tosfos Yomtov, and he says, the Ein Zeh Raya, the Habereshis Rabbah who Agadas Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi, Yevamos Kol HaSugya, Uposek, Kirbi Yochan Ben Bereka, Kedahacha. Says the truth is, where did the Bereshis Rabbah get it from? It wasn't an independent source. The truth is, the whole of the Medrash isn't really an independent sefer. It takes from various sources, and it took from the Yerushalmi. The truth is that we're not 100% sure about a lot of the authorships of the Midrashim, but it seems that the author, the person who compiled the Bereshis Rabbah, which is one of the oldest Midrashim, was a Rav called Rav Hoshaya, and he lived in Eretz Yisrael, and it was put together sometime after the closing of the Yerushalmi. So it's actually a Yerushalmi Midrash, if you want to call it that. So it's understood, he takes it from the Yerushalmi. So he says, yeah, okay, yeah, Paschal Yerushalmi, Mekol Mokum, Anonok Ktinon Keshas Didon, Kshecholek Al Yerushalmi, we Paschal like the Bavli, okay, and the Bavli argues with the Yerushalmi, but to say, says, Avo B'mokum, She'ein Cholek Hashas, Vada Yishlum, and Naberashus Rabbah, Kamoy Ma Yerushalmi, you can learn. It happens to me, in this case, the Bereshis Rabbah is Paschal like the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli argues, so we don't Paschal like this, we Paschal like the Bavli. But in a case where there would be no argument, why not? You can paskin like the Bereshis Rabbah. The truth is, on the Mishnah that we mentioned earlier, there's quite a number of poskim on the sides, and the Rukiv Eger and others. They all bring and they all argue. They all they bring the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash in Maim Chaim argues on the Tosfos Yomtov and. As I say, the Tosfos Rav Kiv Eger says, he brings the Pri Chadash, he says, Hissig al zeh, and he also takes on that way, he understands that one can learn from Agadzah. There's a Tosfos on Shishem at the bottom, interesting, it says, V'kam, he brings some examples of where we learn dinim from Midrashim, and he adds at the end, we don't always think of it this way, he says, V'kamo dinim lomdu ha-poskim mi-medrash ha-zoya. Because if you actually learn the Zoya, it actually is set out very similar to a Medrash. It's a bit more hard, the Aramaic is a bit more difficult, but it's very much in the same lines, and it's also a Medrash, and we know there are many examples of halachas taken from the Medrash. Okay, so I just want to point out also the Pisrei Tshuva on this halacha we were discussing earlier about the get, or whether you can divorce Bagov or not. Pisrei Tshuva also their paskins, like the Pri Chadash. There's just one Tshuva I'll mention, which is that he brings the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda very interestingly held like the Tosfos Yomtov, but he makes a chiluk. In the Yerushalmi, we mentioned you can't learn from quite a list of things. You can't learn from halachas, you can't learn from agadas. It says you can't learn from Tosfos or Tosefta, that should be. So he, interestingly, makes a chiluk. He says from the Tosefta you can learn, from a Tosefta you can learn, from the Midrashim you can't. And he says because the function of a Midrash is to teach you Musa. It's a, you know, Midas and Hashkofa, and it's not meant as halacha, whereas Tosefta is that's what it's there for, is to teach you halachas. And it's a very interesting Shuvah Stam in Yerodeh Tinyona. I can give people a mockum. He's talking about Esther and the whole story of whether Esther received the get from Mordechai or not, the machlokes between Tosefta and the Rashba there. But he doesn't really bring a clear explain. He's given a svara to split the Yerushalmi, but the Yerushalmi doesn't seem to say that. The Yerushalmi puts the Tosefta together with the rest. So you'd have to be ma'ayan what the makor is to what pshat in the Yerushalmi according to the Noda B'Yehuda. Okay, I just want to end by giving some practical examples of where, I mean, the truth is there are many, but I just want to give some which are maybe a bit more common. One of them is a daily halacha, really, in Hilchos Tzitzis. In Siman Ches, Seif Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, he says, Machzir shtei tzitzias lefonov, ushtayim lacharov, kedei sheyei mesuvah b'mitzvus. Where we wear our talis cotton and our talis godel, we have two tzitzis in the front and two tzitzis in the back. Now, what's the makor for this? So, the Beis Yosef brings midrashim. He also brings that the Rekeach and other Rishonim mention a Yerushalmi. The only problem is we don't have that Yerushalmi. There exists no such copy of a Yerushalmi that gives such an indication. And the Bi'ah Agra over here on the Ofanot says, brings two sources from two midrashim. One is a Medrash Avchir. It's talking about when the Jewish people went through the Yam Suf, so Gavriel comes and stops the water from falling down on them, and from various zchuyos that they're going to have. So they said, he says, Gavriel comes and said, the water behind them shouldn't attack them, shouldn't fall on the Yidden. Why? Because they're going to have two tzitzis, they're going to have tzitzis behind them, and also kesher of tefillin. Then that's going to guard the Jewish people. And there's also Yalkut in Tehillim, which is brought where David HaMelech there is going through, he's being Meshabeach, he's praising Hashem for all the various wonderful things that he can do with his body, and he talks about some of the mitzvahs he can do with various different parts of his body. And there he says, it's on the Kolatz Moisai Teimarno, etc. This is Macharem Lefonai Hishlachti Beis Knofus Shultalis, Shani Oimid B'Tfilah. So this is seems to be a makor for the Shulchan Aruch. To Paskin, that's the way we wear talesis. The truth is that there are, certainly the Yemenite Jews don't have this minhag, necessarily. Very often, they bring all four, even when they're davening, they'll bring all four tzitzis to hang in front of them. So it's interesting that they don't have this, but the Shulchan Aruch, at least Paskin's a halacha lemaaseh. He doesn't say it's minna, just paskins it. Just briefly outside, there's a very nice idea. We're coming up to Pesach in a couple of months at least. The halacha is that one leans at the Seder. And if one looks in the Gemara, the Rashbam and other Rishonim, they explain it's called Derech Cheres. It's the way of free men, of nobility to lean. But the problem with it is obvious, and there were Rishonim who disagreed. The Ravya famously is the one who's brought, but many other Ashkenazi Rishonim also disagree. Maharil said, nowadays, if you lie down, you lean, you know, you look as if you're ill. You look as if you need to go back to bed. So what's Taka the Pshat? It seems a bit strange that today we still lean, and it's halacha lemaisa. There's a question, even there's a machlokas, the question, if you don't lean, do you have to go back and do the mitzvah again? So that it's interesting, there are other Rishonim, and Reb Chaim Kaufman, Zichron Levracha, he wanted to suggest that they bring a Medrash in Parshas Beshalach, it says, Vayaseh Elikim, and there it talks about how Hashem made them recline, caused them to recline in the Midbar, when they were leaving Mitzrayim. And this is the reason, it says, Mikan Amru Chachamim, and that's where they got it from, to lean at Seder night. So according to that, the idea of leaning at Seder night is actually a reenactment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not so much an in of Cheres, because today, that's not called Cheres, it's not called freedom to lie down. We would be more comfortable sitting up. But according to that, it would make sense to do according to the Medrash at least, it still makes sense, because you're reenacting Yetzias Mitzrayim. The last example I'll give is a mitzvah in this week's parashah Kibud Av V'Em. And I won't do it inside, I'll take too long. But the interesting, there's a machlokes whether one has an obligation to be mechabed one's grandparents. And Marik Kolon wants to say there's no obligation to mechabed one's grandparents. The Ramah disagrees, and he says you've got more of a chiyuv of Kibud Av, right? The father is more, you have to be mechabed more, but see, there's an obligation. And the Taz there, interestingly enough, it says, it's a pele that the Ma'arik didn't know a Rashi in his Parshas Vayigash, He didn't know. It says Vayisbech Zochem Lekei of Yitzchak and Rashi. That says you learn from here that a person's obligated more in the honor of their father than the grandfather. And the Kutzakesev there points out that it's actually Rashi's taken from a Medrash Rabbah and Bereishis. So it's also a Bereishis Rabbah. And learning Halacha Lemaisa, you see there what the nafkaminas are, but that the Ramah Paskind, we are obligated in the honor of our grandparents, and it's learnt Halacha Lemaisa from a Medrash. So that's all.